The FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 81. My name is Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Jimmy Smith from jimmysmithtraining.com and jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. Do you like that, huh, Kev? My own new intro? I get to intro myself now?
Yeah, we decided to let Jimmy do it on his own because I don't like having to say his long domain names over and over again. So from now on, as long as it's just the two of us, that's how we're going to do it. Not this time. I'm not going to put it in the show this week.
I just wanted to sing it myself. I actually have a good voice.
Okay, you can always use the mute button, but we're actually recording a little bit early this week because I have to work, believe it or not, I have to work from 4 to, or is it 3 to 7 tomorrow and at the gym, and that's the same time as the Patriots game, and that's the same time we normally do the show, but there are TVs in the gym, and the gym's probably going to be empty, considering kids are just coming back to school tomorrow. On Sunday, we're actually recording on Saturday, and hopefully I'll just be able to walk on a treadmill for 3 or 4 hours and watch the game, because obviously the TVs are in front of the cardio equipment. Might as well get some walking in.
I say you have to have some BCAAs with you, Kev. You don't want to go too catabolic.
Oh, yeah, we're actually going to talk about that in a little bit, but you know what? Let's jump in quickly to some FitCast topics. And this is something that, Jimmy, I don't even know if you've checked this out, but I think it's worth mentioning that one of the bigger supplement companies has a new supplement out. And, Jimmy, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no clue, actually.
Okay. Have you seen Biotest's new? I guess this is what TC came on the show a couple months back, and he was talking about
the greens product, right?
Yeah, he's talking about a greens product.
When did they launch it? Because I check T-Nation every day.
It's actually, they launched it on Friday, which is yesterday for us.
Oh, the perfect superfood is here. Okay.
Yeah, so it's called Performance Superfood. And I mean, I looked through it, and I was reading the article that TC typed up, basically just saying what's in it, and what they're really going for is using freeze-dried super extracts of whole fruits and vegetables and combine them into what they believe is the perfect superfood. And again, one of the main selling points is that they're saying that there's no fillers, no extra flavoring agents, no sweeteners, nothing extra, just the pure powder. And they go through the list, which generally it consists of berries, vegetables, and the category that they call other fruits, which is apples, yep, orange, mango, passion fruit, watermelon. And again, this is what they're going to be using to, this is what they're going to use to go against some of the more popular greens products like Greens Plus, which I know a lot of us use, and I know John Brody was the first person that really started talking about Greens Plus a lot and the benefits of it, and now we see Biotest, a company that's known for high quality supplements, they're now coming out with a competitor. And I'm sorry, I wish I asked you before the show, Jimmy, so I could really get your opinion on the product, but.
Well, no, I mean, I'm, you know, looking at it really quick, I can see it definitely has some advantages. It's not, you know, like Greens Plus, and I've never tried Greens Plus, but that's more of a health-based supplement, whereas, like, you know, people will take it to just want to overall be healthy. You look at Biotest Superfood, that's like for people who train hard. I mean, they have green tea in there, and they have some other things in there that are more for the people that you know, get in the gym and hit it, and, you know, not necessarily, you know, the people that just, you know, want to be healthy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think that's our audience. If you go to T-Nation.com, that's who they're going to have to sell it to. And it's interesting that, again, you mentioned that there's no flavoring, but they said it has a mild berry tea flavoring that you can pretty much mix with everything. And You know what? The thing that really surprised me was the cost. And I think the cost in itself might really price it out of my demographic of a young person or a college person that's tight with money. And I know, Jimmy, you're still in school. And
yes, I know about the bills.
And money's tight. And now they're talking about a $40 price tag, which it's 140 grams, which is going to give you 28 servings because they're going with a 5 gram serving size. And I don't know. I buy Greens Plus. I usually buy their berries flavor because you can get it at Amazon.com for like $25 for a month's supply. And I just don't know if there's enough to convince me to spend an extra $15 to go with Biotest product, which by all means, I haven't read too much into the product, but it could be a superior product, especially for who they're trying to point it towards, which is like athletes.
I think they definitely have a market for it. You know, like athletes will spend. I mean, like I did recently some research on, you know, chronic fatigue supplements. There's a staggering number to how much money people spend on supplements that have a claim of will help chronic fatigue. So my whole point to this is that people will spend money on supplements.
Yeah.
Like that's not a problem at all, you know?
And again, this something like this brings up the whole discussion that maybe the supplement is just for the people that aren't eating perfectly. They're not getting their fruits and vegetables in every meal. And they really do need to get those extra nutrients in because they're not getting it from whole food. And again,
yeah.
I go back to the whole point of a college student not being able to afford this stuff. But that's one of the reasons why I take Greens Plus is because I'm normally only able to get like my vegetables in on three of my meals during the day because it's just I don't want to spend the time to prepare vegetables and bring them with me to class or bring them with me to the gym and eat raw vegetables. That's just not really worth it for me. So I'd rather have a serving of Greens Plus in the morning and one in the afternoon or in the PM with my dinner. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how people react to it. And I'd love to get JB's opinion on this. I don't know if he worked with them on this at all or not, but it'd be nice to see how he would compare the two products, Greens Plus and what they're calling the perfect superfood. I don't know, maybe it's just called superfood. But we'll see. And again, you should check it out. Just go to t-nation.com and you can kind of read the article they have on it. And their main tagline is the high performance edge. So that's definitely pointing at the demographic they're going for. And again, maybe I'll pick some up and I'll just see how it tastes and see and go off Greens Plus for a month and see if I notice a difference. I doubt I will, but I can guarantee it'll probably taste better than Greens Plus. We'll put it that way.
Jim? Yeah, yep. I've heard Greens Plus doesn't taste that good.
Yeah, I think, jumping into our second piece of Fitcast news, that Alan Cosgrove is going to be our guest next week, that he is famous for saying that Greens Plus is a great product, not to be mixed with anything, and that it tastes like shit. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. If you can afford the caps, get the caps. But otherwise, Barry Greens Plus, Amazon.com, it's $25 all the time. So it's free shipping, too, which is always good. But I think we'll move on. Jimmy, do you buy anything from the vitamin shop?
No. I'm fortunate enough that in my town, there's a discount supplement store that sells everything for about 10 to 12 bucks cheaper than the vitamin shop, than GNC, than all those. So no.
Well, it's something that I thought I'd bring up. I just got a $25 gift card for the vitamin shop for like 600 points that I spent there, but I don't remember.
Cool.
Buying anything from them this year, unless it's through Amazon.com. I don't know how they track that, but
that's awesome. I mean, hey, $25 is $25, man. And, you know, and you can actually spend it pretty wisely, you know, there. So
yeah, they have some. I know we mentioned last year around this time they had a great sale on the Muscle Milk ready to drinks. It was like a 4-pack for $6 I think they were $5 at the time. And that's a pretty good deal. But I'm kind of rambling on. We'll move on to the next topic. Again, I said Alan Cosgrove is going to be on the show next week, and I want people to send in questions for the show, and we're only going to answer like maybe one or two New Rules of Lifting for Women questions, because we've kind of done the New Rules of Lifting interview, and if you want it, it's at John Berardi's precisionnutrition.com forum. You can download it for free. So we're going to try to keep it towards general audience, men and women. That's not saying we're not going to have any questions about women, but Mr. Cosgrove is known for his fat loss information. So if you do have any questions, the summer is coming. Summer's approaching.
I agree with you on that, Kev. You know, I don't think you should. We already kind of touched on it with Cass. You touched on it with John Berardi.
John wasn't on the interview.
No, John wasn't on. Yeah, it was just you, Lou, Alan, and Cass. So you touched on it there. Like, let's kind of like not beat a dead horse, and Alan's very accessible, you know, through email. He's very generous with his time and through his articles. But, you know, we have him, you know, on the call. Let's try to get as much information out of him as we can. You know, he's a very brilliant guy in the field. So let's just get all the good questions in for him, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, this is kind of a once in a year kind of deal, because he is extremely busy, especially with the Perform Better circuit is starting to ramp up again. So he's going to be traveling a lot of the year for that.
Have you looked at those schedules yet, Kev, for the Perform Betters?
I have. I've looked at a couple. Well, I signed up for the Boston one, but I think that's – I'm not going to be flying out to any seminars this year. I did that last year. I went to L.A. I went to Little Rock. I went to – I think maybe those are only two places, but
– hey, it's still flying twice.
Yeah. It's a lot of traveling, and I'm not a big fan of flying, not because – I'm scared of flying. I just think it's extremely boring.
Yeah, I hate flying. I have to fly like 5 hours out to Arizona in about a little over 2 months now to do some stuff out there. And
what are you going to Athletes Performance or something? Or
No. Just some other business, you know.
Will Smith.
I hate flying, so that'll be fun. I'm sure of it. But yeah, I agree with you on that, Kev, though. You know, I try not to, like, living where we live, you know, on the East Coast, we're pretty fortunate. I mean, you know, Eric Cressy had some seminars at his former place that he was at, and, you know, before there's Perform Betters in Boston, and then we're lucky there's a 3-day. Did you go to the 3-day one last year? I don't think you did.
In Connecticut?
No, it was a 3-day
Rhode
one.
Island. You
know, Rhode Island, yeah, for the Perform Better.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to that last year.
You didn't go to that one?
I couldn't miss any classes. I was going to have to miss class to go to it, so.
Yeah, I mean, you should never just only, you know, go to one seminar a year, but, like, if you're just going to go to one, like, that's the one. That's 3 days of pure intensive, you know.
Hands-on.
It is very hands-on, and the good thing about this is they have 4 presentations going on at one time, 2 hands-on and 2 lectures, so, and you kind of get the best of everything. I mean, it's...
If we could only get Mr. Lee to do another boot camp, so we could just go to Connecticut for 3 days.
Oh, you don't know what he's doing, do you, this year?
Oh, hold on. Beep, 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 beep. Breaking news.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we talked about this before. I just got outbid. I'm on eBay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to focus right now.
We got breaking news. What is it?
With Ryan Lee, yeah. I thought we talked about this, Kev. I was contacted maybe about 2 months ago. Ryan Lee's doing this year. He's doing the first ever online 3-day boot camp.
We just talked about this.
Yeah, I just talked to someone. I think me and you talked about it privately. We didn't talk about it here.
Yeah.
I just talked to his one of his VPs that's like in charge of doing it, of planning it. And he read me the list of everybody participating in. There's some pretty big names. I mean, there's the people that spoke obviously at his boot camp in Connecticut last year, but he's doing this on the 26th, the 29th. It's 3 days. It's from like 9 to 7 too. I mean, I'm speaking. It's kind of a who's who. Like when he told me they're having like something like 100 fitness professionals speak. I was like, there's 100 fitness professionals? He was like, well, you know, Ryan Lee does have a big reach, and you know, he's 100% correct. It's gonna be the first ever 3-day seminar. It's gonna be all done by the phone. Like, I had to send in like the presentation, like my topic and a description about mine.
So do you do it over the phone and people just call in and listen, and do you give them a PowerPoint to follow? How does that work?
Here's the deal with it. Basically, what happens is, like, I have to send in the information. I'm currently the highest bidder, if anybody cares, on my bid. I'm sorry. But, basically what you do is, like, I had to send in, like, the presentation, what I was doing, like, the title and the description. And then in about 10 days, I have to send in, like, my PowerPoints because they told me that, you know, Mike Boyle just sent all his stuff in. He's doing something. You have to send in your PowerPoints, anything you're giving away to the people, just like you normally would at a seminar.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if Ryan's doing it through digital delivery, you know, i.e. is like, you know, someone signs up for a seminar, they get emailed, you know, PDFs of everybody's presentation and you know, one big packet, or if he's physically sending out.
So can you select individual interviews, or do you pay one price for the whole package?
No, I think you pay one price. I think, you know, and I haven't been told a lot about it. You pay one price, and basically it's from like 9 to 7 or 9 to 5. There's four speakers going at each time, you know, so like
that's a lot of sitting in front of the computer.
It's all done over the phone,
over the phone. Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming he's doing everything digital, so like you'll get sent an email that has like the PDF of everybody's presentations on it. You just have to print it out, or maybe there's an additional charge to have the manual sent to you, whatever it is. But yeah, there's four presentations an hour, and you just listen, and you know, we have to send in all our notes, we have to send in anything we're giving away. You know, we'd send all that stuff in by the 27th, I think, of January. So it's going to be a pretty big deal. You know what I mean? They're going to have, you know, anything Ryan Lee does is, you know, is an awesome success. And, you know, he couldn't do his boot camp this year. So why not do something different? So, I mean, it's going to be pretty cool, pretty exciting. It's through the 25th to the 27th. I'm sorry, I said a wrong date. 25th to 27th of March. I just checked my email. And that'd be pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be really interesting to see how that turns out, because it is something completely new that no one has ever done before. And, I mean, hopefully it works out. And again, just one more question. I don't know if you know this or not, but can people ask questions during the seminar? Or
that I don't know. That I really don't know.
Because, I mean, that's one of the major things about going to live seminars is that usually at the end, you have like 5 or 10 minutes, or you can grab them after their presentation and, you know, just say, oh, wait, I just have a question about this. Or maybe they'll just have them give out their email and they'll send email questions. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that, you know, since they're doing it like in a very teleseminar. Have you ever listened to any teleseminars, Kev, like in the fitness industry? Because that's like the popular thing to do.
I haven't listened to teleseminars, but I've heard telephone interviews. Like I've been catching up on Mike Boyle's Strength Coach podcast that he does with Anthony. And by the way, great podcast. People really need to
big ups to Anthony.
Yeah, you gotta check that out. The only thing I'm gonna have to email Anthony, because if anyone listens to that, I swear to God, he must live near an airport, because in the middle of the interviews, I'll hear his guest give like an answer. Then I'll just hear, like...
No, I actually think he does. Like, I mean, I know Anthony personally. Anthony, and I know there's an airport in around where he lives.
Okay,
so
that must be it, because definitely. I swear, it sounds like planes are taking off and landing throughout the whole interview. We just gotta... We gotta get him a better microphone or something, or get some noise cancellation foam for his room. But I don't know. It's not a big complaint. But and also, I got the privilege of listening and doing some editing on the upcoming interviews that you have coming out for a product. So I mean, it's definitely a good viable format. And actually, are you allowed to?
Yeah, I'll drop some information about it. A couple things. You know, the Muscle Bible is coming out. It is coming out in a little over a week now, and Kevin will have the link to the sign-up page, you know, in the show notes, and Kevin's also going to send out a little more information about it.
And you can actually buy it first from thefitcast.com.
Yeah, the FitCast, basically what's going on here with the people from the FitCast.com, and you know, you guys will get multiple chances. Kevin, you know, will send some stuff out, but you'll be on a priority notification list. What that gets you is a couple things. You'll be the very first people to know, even before my newsletter subscribers. You know, my newsletter subscribers, most of them have been on that priority notification list now for about a week and a half. You'll be the first ones to get it. You're going to get it at a discounted price. Like, I'm not going to make any fake internet marketing promises. Like, I'm only selling a certain number, you know, at a certain price. Like, being digital and being everything, you know, that I have control over it, when the certain numbers go on, my webmaster already programmed the HTML coding in. When that number gets hit, the price goes up, and then this is how it's happening. You're not going to go on the site 2 weeks after it launches and find that, you know, still as a special test, the first, you know, 101 people can get it for that price. Like, no, it's going to be there. It's going to go fast, and the HTML coding's already in there. Like, when that number's gone, the price goes up. But, yeah, Kevin will have links for it in the show notes, so get in the advanced priority notification notice, because I'm going to start sending some stuff out, and you guys will be the first ones to know. And I wanted to talk about that seminar real quick again, what you asked. I'm pretty sure people will have the chance to call in, be on a teleseminar. Like, they'll punch the line through for like 5-10 minutes, or, you know, obviously email, right? It's always accessible, so that's just kind of how
like
I want to
touch room.
That. Like,
have them... Yeah, kind of
like a chat room, which would be cool, too. I mean, I don't really know. I don't want to speak for anybody, but... And I also, I won my eBay auction. I'm excited. I'm happy. You know, granted, it was $700, but, you know, you got to spend a little money to make a little money, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
And we've actually gone about 20 minutes, and we really haven't gotten
into... Talked about a damn thing, yeah.
No, really, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
Oh, and last pizza FitCast topic that you probably noticed in the show in the beginning that we have new intro music, and the show should sound a little bit more spiffy this week, a little bit more high class, as I spent a good part of a day going through GarageBand and figuring out how to use it, because I was using Audacity, which is a free program, and GarageBand comes with some free intro music and things that I can use for in between segments. And I started to notice that a lot of the podcasts I listen to use the same music from GarageBand. So hopefully I won't be using the same stuff, but don't call me a copycat, because it's all in GarageBand and it's free use music. So I apologize if you feel like there's repetition in your life. It's not my fault. But that's it for the FitCast topics. Coming up is the mailbag, and then we're also going to do a study review with Jimmy Smith, so we'll be right back. All right, welcome to our mailbag for this week. The first question comes to us from, sorry, I forgot to put the name of the outline, but you know who you are. The person asks, I am a runner and a lifter. Some days I go to the gym after a long day at school. I usually run about an hour or an hour and a half. Then after my run, I do my lifting routine, which includes the New Rules of Lifting workout. This is a question we could have saved for Alan, but I noticed that my lifting is effective, which I am not surprised, since I just ran 10 to 15 miles. That's a lot of running, dude. This is the only time that I can lift and run. Is there anything you would suggest that I could eat/do so that I can have energy to get the most out of my lifting? Sorry for the long question. And oh, that's from Chris Barrett. I'm sorry. The name was under the question. But Jimmy, I'll throw that to you one first.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird situation, because, you know, he's a runner at school. You know, Chris is a runner at school, and then he has to go train after.
Well, you know, the thing I might ask him first is, are you doing this because it's fun, or are you doing this because you're competing in some? And are you like a cross country runner?
No, I think Chris has emailed me a couple times. Chris actually goes to, this is the same Chris Barrett. He actually goes to school about a half hour from where I live, so he's emailed me a bunch of times. And to the best of my knowledge, he's an endurance runner. So in that case, like, he's already starting his weight training, you know, behind the eight ball. He's already starting in a catabolic state. He's broken down
for an hour and a half. That's a lot of running.
The first thing he needs to do is he needs to take like a branched chain amino acid or a protein supplement, you know, whatever the two, if he wants. If he wants to take a pre-mixed BCA, fine, or just, you know, whey shake, he needs to do that. And he needs to have some type of carbohydrate source. There's going to be no way he's going to have effective workouts, you know, because even if you're a distance runner, the only thing that you know, makes you run faster and harder than the next distance runner is how much force you can put into the ground. You know, the problem with distance runners is that we see so much stress and repetitive stress injuries from distance runners because they cannot efficiently use their elastic energy. So the muscle, or the energy rather, that their tendons and muscles store, you know, each stride. As each stride goes along, you know, they lose that ability. Yeah. Whereas if you see a sprinter, sprinters don't really have these, you know, these repetitive stress injuries. So Chris is going to need to train heavy. He's going to need to train with plyometrics. He's going to need to do some stuff. So I would not advise him to take a quick digesting carb. A lot of people would say take like a maltodextrin, you know, or even a waxy maize or some, you know, fruit or whatever. I wouldn't tell him to do that. I would tell him to take, you know, oatmeal. Oatmeal is actually quickly digested, even though it's a fibrous carbohydrate.
And this is in between the running and the
lifting. This is in between, yeah. Yeah, this is in between. So I would definitely tell him to do that because oatmeal has a fibrous content. It's not going to spike your blood sugar, but it is kind of quickly absorbed and digested. So that would give him enough, you know, if he waited about 15, 20 minutes to train. Or he can just go with, you know, like I said, take away and don't do the fast carbs. But, you know, if I know I have an iron stomach. You know, I can come home and I can eat a full 5-course meal and then I can, you know, go to the gym and train and my stomach will be fine. But if he's not that, then he might need to do like a surge, yeah, you know, and have that.
I mean, that's the thing I was going to bring up to you. I mean, what if the kid doesn't have a microwave at the gym where he can mix up some oatmeal?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, you know, obviously you can bring, you know, cold brown rice, whatever, et cetera, but again, surge might really be the best thing for you here, you know, because he's not going to be able to, you know, to have an efficient workout,
yeah,
you know, the way he's doing it.
And if you are a college athlete, one thing you might need to look out for is the branched chain amino acid content in the drink that you're using, because you are only allowed a certain limit of branched chain amino acids in your body at once.
What
are your levels of not your body, but the content of the supplement, because that's one thing. I mean, I've even talked to my exercise physiology professor about this. It doesn't really make sense. It's a banned substance at certain levels in the NCAAs. That's why with Cetaphuse, they have to take out the branched chain amino acids of the drink and keep them at a certain level.
You only allow a certain level of BCAAs in your body?
Yes.
Yeah, again, now...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not in your body. It's in the supplement.
Yeah. Well, here's actually a little known fact. I got in trouble my senior year. I was a college basketball player. The athletic director came by our locker room, and I was drinking, I don't know if it was Adrenaline Rush. It was one of those energy drinks, and it had taurine in it. And taurine,
oh, yeah,
you
can't – yeah, that too. Yeah. I mean, the caffeine, like there's so many banned substances now. It's just – I mean, I understand for safety's sake, but it's kind of like stupid of the
– yeah,
branched
and
amino
I was drinking
acids aren't going to make you extremely strong – make you that much better of an endurance runner at a meet.
Yeah, and I was drinking them, and I was throwing them in the trash in the locker room. They were like, you know, we can't do this. But back to Chris, like, again, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'm not telling anybody to break the rules, you know, if there's anyone from the NCAA that listens to the FitCast. I'm not telling anybody to break the rules. All I'm saying is that the probability of you getting tested or
caught, it's minimal.
Yeah, like, dude, it's slim. Like, I mean, unless you're, you know, like we used to make the NCAA tournament, so then we kind of had to be point on.
Yeah.
We made the tournament because as you get higher up, even at a Division III level, they begin to test, but I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he might be a Division III school or a Division II school. A lot of those schools don't test their athletes. Like, right now, there's a big story at my school because they just tested our college athletes, and they found out, I think it was 6 out of 10 students tested positive for a drug.
Really?
Which is like marijuana. I think they tested 6 out of 10 tested positive for marijuana. Although they didn't test all the athletes. They just took a handful of athletes and randomly tested them. But now it's becoming a big deal where they're actually going to have to put the money aside because of the outrage from like the parents and from the community. They're actually going to have to put a couple $1,000s aside from the athletic department, and they're going to have to test the athletes regularly, not only for performance enhancing drugs, but also extracurricular drugs.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we used to, not we, I mean, my teammates, because I've never done it, but my teammates, we'd make the NCAA tournament, made it 3 years in a row. And we were an at-large conference. Like, our conference didn't get a bid in Division III, so we had to be pretty ranked highly in the Northeast, which we were, to get in. And these guys, we'd make the tournament, we'd get the call, and they'd go and they'd smoke weed.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, all right, if we get to the Sweet 16, you know, we're going to start getting tested. So what are you guys doing right now?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just college athletics for you. People have to realize that athletes are, I guess, are people, too.
Yeah, and another thing that I go to Chris is that if there is only one certain time during the day when you can get to the gym, that might be a problem. But maybe you can break it up into like an AM, PM, where you can at least let your body recover and you can get some nutrition in you and just make that weight workout a little bit more effective for you. But, oh, man, that's a tough situation.
It's a good basketball game on right now, Kev. UCLA, USA.
Not a college basketball fan.
Oh, love it. Did you know there, and this is a fun fact, I don't know if anybody else knows this, the University of Colorado women's basketball team, they have a Britney Spears and they have a Whitney Houston on their roster. I mean, I just saw, I don't know why I thought people would be interested in knowing that, but move on.
Wow, train wreck. The next question, we have a big mailbag. The mailman was had a hard time getting these to us this week. Wow, that just made me feel like just Mr. Rogers.
Keep going. Where's your sweater? Do you have a gray sweater you're wearing right now?
I know. I got to go tie my shoes first. Will I compromise muscle mass if hypertrophy has been the main goal during a weight strength training cycle and I decide to start doing conditioning training with higher reps for 3 months? In other words, if I start doing push-ups and its variants exclusively for chest muscle endurance and overall conditioning, will I lose chest muscle mass/size achieved during the prior hypertrophy cycle? And that's from our good friend Raymond.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's going to lose some muscle mass. I mean, at first, we don't have all the information that we need. Like, he says he's been training for a hypertrophy. Is he talking, you know, is he training 12 or 15 reps, which is more endurance anyway? Mm-hmm. Or is he training, you know, 6 to 8? Because that my answer is going to be different. But I'll just assume, you know, he's doing in the middle, 8 to 12. Yeah, he's going to lose some muscle size. You know, anytime you switch up your training, I mean, even though your diet's point on, he'll be doing more more glycogen depleting work, you know, that's in those higher rep ranges. He'll be doing more endurance work. Chances are, his diet will change, because typically when people, you know, are trained to add size, they're going to eat a little different than they were doing for endurance. He'll be doing more, you know, like complexes, all methods like that to condition himself in training. His rest intervals will be lower. A lot of things like that will be affected in that he kind of has to factor in. His energy expenditure is going to be increased. So, you know, he's going to lose, you know, muscle mass. He brings up push-ups and chest muscle. Yes, he will. I don't want to sound like I'm off my rocker here, but there is some research that shows, you know, site specifically you can, you know, lose fat, lose muscle. I mean, I know the whole thing with abs, when people want to lose weight, people think they do 1,000 crunches and they'll lose abs, and they'll get abs. That's not 100% accurate, but at the same time, it's not 100% incorrect. You know, there is research that shows certain types of cardio, you know, certain types of supplements will bring better blood flow to the abdominal area. You know, so if I have better blood flow to those muscles and then I go and bang out crunches, that's going to give me a shot at site-specific fat loss more than anything else. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying everybody jump on your treadmill and do your 45 minutes of cardio and then go do crunches and expect to have a six-pack. The only point I'm trying to bring up is that he's going to have a loss in that muscle there. You know, there's no way he's going to retain chest size at those high endurance reps. You know, my question is, why does he not use a more undulating method of periodization?
Yeah.
You know, for anybody who doesn't know what that means, why doesn't he, you know, do a bodybuilding 8 to 12 scheme and then go, you know, and do his endurance stuff the other day? I think the problem is when people think of hypertrophy, they think that, you know, since bodybuilders, professional IFBB, bodybuilders that are on stage can't really move efficiently and aren't really quote-unquote athletes, you know, even though Ronnie Coleman was doing splits on stage. Nothing against Raymond, but I don't think he's going to have the muscle mass of Ronnie Coleman. You know, so like my point is that he can still train with hypertrophy. He can still build muscle. It's not going to mess up his you know, performance there. You know, so I'm telling him, don't be scared of building muscle.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much more you can say about that. So we'll keep moving on. Jimmy, you said in the last show that you are now, quote, cutting. I guess we're still calling it cutting. I was just curious as to how you've modified your workouts to reach your goals. Thanks, and love the show. That's from Jessica.
Well, first, Jessica, thank you very much.
Female, got a little female fan there.
Stop it right now. Just be professional, Kevin. Jesus. First of all, Jessica, thank you for the compliments about the show. I mean, we love when people write in. And thank you for the question. No, we do. When people say they like the show, I mean, come on, dude. Like, people can and have said a lot worse things about the show. So,
yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I have not changed my training. I know there's school of thought that you should change your training, and a lot of times I will agree with that, and you know, I will change my training. Typically in the past, what I've done when I was trying to lose fat and when I was trying to cut is I would do all full-body workouts and try to create as much, you know, metabolic disturbance as possible. I've learned my body. You know, I've learned what works for me. I've seen results with certain clients versus, you know, lack of results with other clients. And now my training's staying more or less the same. And by the same, I mean I have an upper and lower day. And then I have a arm day. I have a shoulder and back. And then I have a chest, calves, you know, and then I call it like a rotator cuff day. Like I'll do like my scapula stabilizing stuff all on that day. You know, it's, you know, more bodybuilding based. The only thing I changed about my training is that I went and I started doing more, you know, aerobic work. You know, I do three sessions. I play two basketball games where I play the entire game on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, and then I'll typically do one to two other low intensity cardio sessions that day. So even though I'm still doing a chest or a shoulder and back workout, you know, they're still glycogen depleting. I know not as depleting as full body workouts, but they're still, you know, as glycogen depleting. And they're still intense. You know, my whole thing is I saw how my body responded to full body workouts. And even when I was doing two upper and two lower or four upper body with different sets and reps, I was just too fatigued. Like I couldn't do cardio. It was harder for me to follow my diet. Like I really just couldn't do it. And I'm a firm believer that your nutrition has to change first, as a lot of people obviously say. I mean, I know with this split, I would use the same split to build muscle, and I don't anticipate building muscle, you know. All I anticipate is holding on and stimulating the muscle the best that I can. You know, I'm still, when you look at some research, it'll show you, you know, to fully stimulate a muscle, you have to hit at least twice a week. And that's exactly what I'm doing when I have my upper and lower days. And then I do the splits, you know, so that kind of is my answer in a nutshell. I haven't changed up much. You know, all I've changed up is diet wise. I take about 12 grams of fish oil per day, about 3 to 5 grams of CLA. You know, these are on low carb days. Of course, I take about, you know, 3 grams of GLA, you know, 400 milligrams of RALA, you know, so I just changed up my supplementation and my nutrition and just add a little more cardio in.
So basically, we're just talking about a negative caloric balance.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, basically that's what I'm trying to do. I'm you know, I'm under my BMR and I don't do this for all. You know, I had pizza last night and I lost 2 pounds. You know, I was 250 yesterday morning. I woke up, I was 248. So, yeah, I mean, my whole theory is, like, when I diet now, and I used to be the worst, like, someone said to me the other day, I was talking about this, like, so I'm assuming you're dieting until June. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would lose way too much muscle mass. I'm only dieting for about another week to week and a half, and then I'm going to go on, you know, what they call a lean bulk, you know, trying to gain, you know, 4 or 5 lean muscle pounds. You know, I'll still be doing cardio. I'll pull it down. I'll eat slightly differently, but nothing, you know, nothing too different. So, yeah, I mean, I think dieting-wise, like, I think we do too much of it. I think we're too obsessed because we have to realize the only thing that burns fat is muscle. And I think if we focus on building muscle more, you know, and that's the problem. Like, you know, Kevin, sure, because you're still in college. Like, you see a lot of the quote-unquote meatheads, you know, in your gym. Like, these guys walk around, like, you know, with their, you know, imaginary lat syndrome, but at the same time don't have a lot of muscle. You know, well, why not? They spend half the year dieting, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of, I don't know, just what I was going with that.
All right, we'll jump into the last question. Oh, no, we have 2 more questions. I forgot I had a bonus question. Next question comes from, it's either George or Jorge. I apologize.
Like Yankee catcher?
Yeah, well, it's J-O-R-G-E. So what is in your fitness toolbox, i.e., what equipment do you keep with you to use with your clients? And he says, thanks.
Go first, Kev.
Well, thanks, Jim.
Wow. Hey, Pip, Jorge. You ever see that commercial on ESPN where Jorge Posada's walking down the hall? And it's hysterical. I'm sorry.
All right. by the way, the Patriots are now 17-0, and Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, they're going to be in San Diego, and I mean, the only team that could have gave them a run in the AFC was Mike Robertson's Colts.
You know, Mike Robertson's Colts, yep.
Well, I mean, Mike's a cult fan.
No, I'm laughing because I talked to Mike about this the other day. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, they could... I think the Giants are beating the Packers. You know, I think Giants are a team of destiny. The Giants are the only team that gave the Pats a legit scare. You know.
Eli Manning.
You know, but here's the whole thing. The whole thing about the Patriots is this, and this is what it gets summed down to. It's the old Mike Tyson line. Everybody has a plan until they get punched. You know, like, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face the first time, and then it goes out the window. And that's
why, but the Patriots
why,
like, are the ones that are punching people in the face.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the Giants. I'm saying, you know, the Patriots are the ones that are just going and...
Rematch of the 1997 Super Bowl Patriots-Packers.
Yeah, the Pack destroyed them. I was actually a Patriot fan then, too.
Oh.
But God knows
can't
I
can't come back.
I absolutely hate the Patriots. Oh, I don't like Tom Brady at all.
Jimmy just doesn't like winners. Like, he doesn't like the Patriots. He doesn't like the Red Sox. He doesn't like the Celtics. I mean,
dude, the Celtics haven't won shiznit yet. Okay, let's see a title and then we'll talk. Right. B, Boston's won 3 championships in the entire organization's, you know, history. Granted, the last 4 years
they've
been winning.
Boston who?
What do you mean? Red Sox. They've only won 3 world championships.
What?
That organization's not won more than 3 championships, dude.
You're gonna brush up on your.
I'm gonna go on ESPN right now. Answer this question, and we'll debate this in a minute.
Okay, because I think it's actually like 5 or 6 because they won.
Okay,
a
5 or 6. The Yankees won 25, dude.
What have you done for me lately? We are not talking about
lately,
this.
Fine.
Is the Fitcast, not the sports.
I know this. My point is, you can't say I don't like winners. I'm a Yankee fan. You know, I'm a UConn Husky fan. We've won 2 national titles in the last like 7 years. You know, so rise up off me, fool.
Oh.
I was a Chicago Bulls fan.
I love the Bulls.
I was a Bulls fan because of Michael Jordan, I'll be honest.
Me too, but I mean, I like the Bulls, how they're set up now. They got some great...
I like them now because of Ben, you know, Ben Gordon, so, I mean...
Except for Joakim Noah, who's just a... That kid's
he's
got
a punk, huh?
He's a punk. You never would have thought the nice little...
He was like that at Florida, though, too. Like, he was very disappointing as you know,
well,
in
because
Florida,
he was number 3 with Al Horford and what's his face? I can't remember his name. I don't watch college basketball. All right. Answer to that question as Jimmy goes on ESPN.com for me. Right now, actually, I have to bring a lot of my own stuff to the gym here at school because, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of the things that I'd like to use. One thing, I have a set of Val slides, which I keep in my bag of tricks. Val slides, which we've talked about in the past on the show. Great alternative to exercises that you would do on a slide board. And they're like, I think I got mine for like $25. And you really can't go wrong just doing like lunges on them. You can also do leg curls on the ground with them. It's nice, especially if you don't have a physio ball, if you want to just really switch it up. And I actually got some ideas from watching Jimmy. I don't think we talked about this, but I finished watching Mike Boyle's Advanced Program Design DVD set.
Damn good DVD. Yeah, what'd you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I just basically, it's 4 DVDs, and I did it over 2 days. I can only sit in front and watch like a DVD for so long before I go nuts, but he had a great point where he was talking about people that use physio balls or Swiss balls, whatever you want to call them, to do leg curls. And one thing that, Jimmy, you probably remember this, one thing that a lot of people do is that their hips dip down and they're not activating their glutes.
Yep.
So by using something like a Val slide, I haven't used the Val slide and really looked at it that way until I'm actually going to get a chance this week as my clients are going to be back in town tomorrow. But it'll be interesting to see if I can really keep them to keep those hips in line and not have an angle and have their glutes firing. But also, I have the nice 2 tennis balls and hockey tape for thoracic extensions. It's really kind of a no-brainer. People need to be doing more thoracic extension work. And also, field hockey ball. I use that because can't really hit a glute, your glutes or your calves with a foam roller, especially if the person has tight hips and they can't get that ankle on top of the opposite ankle on top of their knee to really focus on one glute at a time. So that's all I had. Also, yeah, that's it, because pretty much everything else I need is at the facility, like jump stretch bands and things like that. How about Jimmy? Did you find out?
No, I looked it up and then I put it on Yahoo. I don't want to look too much into that.
Well, I'll do it because I know I'm right. What you answered this question,
dude? They only won like in 1918. They won like in 05. All right, whatever. No, to answer this question, I don't bring anything with me actually.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I work in a gym, so like I have everything I need right there.
Well, there's nothing that your gym doesn't have that.
Oh, I wish we had blast straps. Yeah, I wish we had blast straps. I wish, you know, we had some smaller other pieces of equipment. But
yeah, that's not really something you can bring to the gym and like hook them up. Blast straps.
Yeah, no. Other than that, no, we don't have any.
All right. Let's just. Going on that, let's see, the Red Sox won the very first World Series in 1903. At that time, they were the Boston Americans. Also, let's see, they won in 1912. They also won in the Boston Braves won it in 1914, so that doesn't count. They also won it in 1915, 1916, and then 1918. So, let's see, it's four. So that's like six or seven. I don't really.
It's like six to the Yankees 25.
I know, but I really like. I almost feel bad for George because, first off, his son is an idiot. I don't know.
Best owner in the history of the game, though.
I know, but his son is gonna totally f up that team because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's an arrogant silver spoon son of a bitch. And that's my rant for this week.
I don't really think it's going to be as bad as you think, my friend.
All right. Well, let's wrap up the mailbag, and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to jump right back in with the study review for this week. The FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. All right, Jimmy, you have the study review for us this week. What do you got?
Well, did you want to ask your other question? Or want me to go into the study?
What question? Oh,
you
damn
asked me an extra question. Yeah, see?
That's a good point.
I pay more attention than you do.
So, those me rewinding the tape, but since I can't edit out the last part that we just did, we're going to have the stutter review plus one mailbag question. And again, this might be more of a roundtable discussion topic, but I just started thinking to myself that, you know what, everyone loves lunges now. Everyone loves lunges. Everyone loves single leg works, single leg squats, things like that. But I think that no one's giving any love to the step up anymore. And I started thinking to myself, you know what? It's a similar movement when you really think about it. Instead of lunging forward, you're really going straight up, and you're still using predominantly your quads. You're using your glutes. And I don't know. I started thinking to myself, and I was, Jimmy, I mean, first off, do you use step ups, and if not, why?
I use step ups, and I absolutely love them.
I'm just kind of confused because, I swear, I read a lot of books, especially some of the things from our guests, and they don't seem to be using step ups in their programs.
Well, first of all, North Carolina's losing, so
is it like a safety thing?
Because, no, you know what? Here's what I think it is. I don't know. I can't speak for other authors and other trainers. You know why they don't use step ups. I love them. Lunges.
It's a very demanding exercise. It's a good.
It
exercise.
Is. It's a very demanding exercise. It is, for all intents. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a unilateral exercise. It's very fatiguing. You'll burn a ton of calories with it. Like it's. I think it's an awesome exercise. But I mean, that's just my opinion. I use them. You know. I like them especially because you can pop at the top to a certain degree and get a little more glute activation than you can on lunges. I think a lot of people don't use them. And now, for two reasons. A lot of people won't use them because, you know, they fear the whole knee going over the toe thing. You know, the people that are more, you know, really into the industry know that that's not that big of an issue. So, like, they'll, you know, they'll not use them for maybe the other clients have joint issues. You know, a lot of times I wouldn't necessarily do if a client had an ankle or knee joint issue. That was a problem. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I really don't know.
I mean, I just think that step-ups are not getting the love that they deserve. That, you know what, everyone should, tomorrow, when you go to the gym, do some step-ups for me. Let me know how it feels. Like, it's a very demanding exercise. And I started thinking to myself, shit, I haven't been using step-ups. I haven't done step-ups in, like, a year and a half. A year and a half, I've been doing lunges and lunging variations and single-legged squats. A lot of single-leg work, but... I mean, I don't see why, especially for people who are having trouble getting down the single-legged squat, they might not have the strength for it. I understand that you can use things like bands to throw a band around like a squat rack and help them use it as a counterweight to help make the single-legged squat easier. But I don't see why we can't use step-ups as well. As another way to get them stronger, because it is similar to a single-legged squat.
Yeah, they're so tough, dude. They are so tough.
They are, and I mean, I found myself I can only do like six single-legged squats on each side before I fall on my ass. I fall down. So I mean I understand that lunges great single-legged. Exercise, lunge variations, great single-legged exercise, but step-ups, you gotta throw them back in your program. Damn, it's such a good exercise. And I mean, all you need is a box. If I mean, depending on how tall you are, you might be able to just use a bench and use that. And unstable surface. There you go. Makes it a little bit tougher. I don't know if you want to even do that if you're a beginner, but if...
Yeah, wouldn't really do that.
Yeah. No. but... Find a box. You can make a box. And I'm sure if you are a part of a facility that they have boxes that you can use. So, actually, you know what? I take that back. That whole thing about the Yankees, that's not my rant this week. Step-ups. That's my rant this week. Do some step-ups. Come on. All right. Now, Jimmy, you have our stutter review for this week.
Yes, I do. I kind of lost you for a second there, Kev. But my study review for this week is that somehow branched chain amino acids help regulate energy expenditure. Basically, what that means is, you know, is they help control how much energy, you know, we use during our workouts, during life. Basically, we know that building muscle requires us to break down and rebuild muscle tissue. We know that, you know, the branched chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, and valine are all critical for helping us maintain that positive balance and stay in a positive muscle building state to prevent breakdown. Penn State University researchers found that leucine, which is the absolute most amazing supplement, to me it's become more and more my favorite supplement, is a very important signaling chemical to regulate protein synthesis, insulin sensitivity, and energy expenditure. They did some stuff with gene, they found it in mice, more or less, you know, gene response in mice, that BCAA metabolism is essential and helps with the protein synthesis. Leucine also causes increased cycling rate of protein breakdown and synthesis. So BCAAs are critical metabolic controls of protein synthesis and energy expenditure. So kind of what that means is that there's just more and more evidence for you to take your BCAAs. Typically, we'll have an abstract. I could not find this abstract, but it's in the Journal of Cell Metabolism if anybody's interested in it. And it's just another reason why we need to, you know, take BCAAs, especially leucine. I mean, I'm becoming more and more a fan of taking L-leucine post-workout. And I mean,
like, do you just take it separately, though, or do you have like a branched chain amino acid drink that you have that has L-leucine in it?
Yeah, well, you can find that, you know, a lot of research will say if you take one BCAA over the other ones, you know, you'll kind of you'll lose some effect there. But generally what I do is I take a whey shake, I take 5 grams of BCAAs, and I take, you know, 5 grams of just L-leucine. It's such a an anti-catabolic supplement that it's like there's no reason, like, not to take it.
All right, so good news.
Good news, yes, that was.
Okay. I don't know. You sound like you're losing me, but
no, I didn't know where you were going there. All you did was say good news, and
well, I mean, I think it's at least worth discussing. Like, so if you have a client who's looking, I mean, if we're talking about being in a anabolic state, I'm guessing it's for fat loss. So if we're doing that, you would recommend them having 5 grams of BCAAs as like BCAA powder that you can just get.
Yeah, but I would say BCAA powder.
Like the unflavored stuff. I mean, everyone makes it.
Yeah, I only use unflavored stuff. If I use some stuff, it has, you know, some flavor in it. But yeah, I mean, BCAAs are just, I mean, I use them a lot. Like when I was building muscle, how I got to 260, a big reason was because I was taking about 30 to 40 grams of BCAAs a day.
That expensive?
It is, but
you found that it's actually worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I find it's worth it. Like, that's not one of those things where, you know, you hear someone write about how worth it is, and then you try and you don't get results. Like, I got results. You know, what I did is I did 10 grams during my workout, I did 10 grams after, and I did another 10 grams about an hour to an hour and a half after. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it. I think it's the, you know, to me, it's the top muscle-building supplement, like, you know, for building muscle and for retaining muscle when you lose weight. Like, I'm dieting pretty good, and I'm not losing any muscle. You know, I'm holding pretty good now, 248. So, I love it. You know, I think everybody should be taking it.
Fair enough. Well, I think that should wrap it up for our show this week. Damn, that was a long. That's a long show.
That was a long show, man. We started like a half hour early too.
All right, Jimmy. Is there something else you want to add?
Yeah, actually, I have recently been talking to a very well-known fitness model, male fitness model. You guys would know him if you saw him. He's been on the cover of a lot of magazines, I believe.
Jimmy's seen him.
Dude, you're such a jerk. He was actually on the cover of the recent Maximum Fitness magazine, and I know we have a lot of listeners out there who are into modeling and or into bodybuilding, so I thought it would be pretty cool to try to get, you know, him on to talk, you know, a little about what it takes to get to a high level of modeling and what, you know, and some other things. So if you guys have any interest, just shoot Kevin an email and, you know, we'll see what we can do.
No, I think that'd be great to just see the kind of the road he took to where he is today.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's someone that is completely different than anyone we've had. We've never had any real, like, fitness models on the show.
I mean, besides
figure competitors, I mean, we've had, like, Jen on the show, obviously.
But Jen actually did bodybuilding contests. Jen never did figure.
Oh, okay.
So makes there's a difference. Up.
I'm very naive.
Naive youth.
Yep. So we're going to get out of here for this week. Again, this is episode number 81. Please don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out the Fitcast on iTunes. Subscribe on there, you know. Get that going. I'm very mellow right now, but also jimmysmithtraining.com, and also he's got jimmysmithtraining.blogspot.com. I should just pre-record that and just slip it
probably
in.
Should.
Just slip
yeah,
it in like
should.
10 or 12 times in the show.
Yeah, probably should.
So people can hear that. And I think that's all we got this week. So again, I hope you enjoy the new kind of presentation for the show this week. And we'll catch you all next week. Again, Alan Cosgrove's going to be our guest next week. So send all of your questions to questions@thefitcast.com. And we're going to answer as many as we can. I know there's going to be a high demand of questions. We're going to have a ton of questions for him. So get them in soon. Get them in fast so we can put that together. I'm not going to say it's first come, first serve. But the sooner you get it in, the more likely I am to really consider it. Because I know you love the show and you listen to it. So again, thanks for listening for episode number 81. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
And I'm Jimmy Smith.
We'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Go Patriots.